Welcome, everyone, to Voice of the Valley here in the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm your host, Dave Bell. 928-428-9494. That's the phone number, 428-9494. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. My wife put me to work again, folding decoupage paper. That's what I did. That's what I do. That's my life now. I talk, and I'm a blowhard Monday through Friday. On the weekend, I'm folding decoupage paper or filling orders, one of the two. It could be a worse life. I'm not on a roof. I'm not hammering in shingles. I'm not hanging drywall, all of which are respectable jobs. I've done them. Well, I haven't done roofing, but I've done painting and drywall, and sitting behind a microphone's much easier. Folding decoupage paper is much, much easier. She gets mad at me because I don't talk. I like to work quiet. I throw in a pair of headphones and I listen to podcasts, and I'm immersing myself in history. I like history podcasts, and she gets mad because she wants to talk. I said, but we talk when we go home. It's not like I ignore you at home, but we're working. Yeah, she doesn't like that. So she has to bring somebody else in. So she is. The crosses we men bear. hope you're all having a good day. It is pleasant out there so far. Knock wood, you know. We'll see if it stays that way. My guest today, Emily Riddle. She is with the Graham County Health Department. The last time Emily was on, we talked about the community health assessment. Now we're going to talk about what does that mean in practice. So, Emily, thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you for having me today.
Here's the weird thing that goes, anybody who's been behind a microphone knows this. Sometimes you get distracted by the weirdest thing. Is that a peasant blouse? I don't know why, but I just looked at it and it was like, I've never seen a blouse like that. It's a little different because there's only the one button at the neck. And I swear, as we're going on the air, I'm like, huh, I wonder what kind of blouse that is. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, it's loose, and it kind of covers my arm for like a little bit of the sun protection, and I'm not dying of heat stroke in it.
There you go.
Because I'm already too hot.
Yeah.
I know it's only May. No, it's almost May, but I'm already too hot, and I am very pale, so
well,
I will burn.
Welcome to that club.
Yes.
So I don't know why. I literally, as I turned my microphone on, I went, huh, wonder what kind of blouse that is.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
It keeps me cool.
There you go. It's the perfect blouse for today.
Uh-huh.
How's that?
That sounds good.
Community health. We talked about the community health assessment, the study that was done by the health department. Well, it was done by somebody else, but the health department contracted to have the study done, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Pointed out the areas that we're doing well in, pointed out the areas we need improvement in.
Mm-hmm.
So taking that information, now what's the next process for the health department?
So based on the results we had from the community health assessment, they developed sort of like a wish list of goals that we would like to proceed with to help improve the areas of focus that we identified from our community health assessment. So as a reminder of last time, those were healthcare access, mental and substance abuse services, and food access and healthy lifestyle. So we've kind of developed a couple different goals for each one, and then some of these goals have like subcategories to them, but we're going to try and just keep with like the main goals, because there's quite a bit of things and open possibilities. And the good thing about this is, even though we said we're going to do this, it's more of a living document. So emerging issues may arise between now and in the 4.5 years that we would have to start this process again. I think we saw quite a bit of that with COVID, because that threw everyone through a loop, and that was not something that in the last cycle we said, oh, we're going to, you know, worry about COVID. And halfway through we said, oh, we have COVID, so now we have to adapt to this.
Which begs a question. So we've experienced pandemic before,
mm-hmm.
The Spanish flu, 1918. coming on the heels of World War I. But obviously medicine was not as advanced then. And I imagine much of our record keeping was very rudimentary then as well. Now, having experienced it with what I'd like to think is a slightly more technologically advanced view on healthcare, I'm assuming the next community health assessment in 5 years will take the possibility of catastrophic health crisis into effect. Correct?
It might.
It should?
I mean, it would really depend because the results that we base this off of is our community surveys. So we take into some account, you know, what's happening in the academic field and like what are emerging issues that are coming from the state level and the federal level. But it really highlights what are community members concerned with? What do they feel is a focus? Because we need all areas of focus that way. So it's not just, you know, the federal government saying, hey, this is what you get to do. Good luck.
Well, I ask because, as you say, it's what the community really is focused on. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we have pockets of the community that don't acknowledge a health crisis at all. And if we went by that, likely we would not survive another pandemic. I mean, at some point, experts have to come in and say, look, this is the science.
Yeah.
And that's the deal.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's entirely possible. I know in this new CDC budget that they've allocated a little bit more funding for that prevention for pandemics and just sort of like surveillance. Since they've kind of dropped some of the emergency COVID funding, they've, you know, started saying, okay, we got to prevent the next one.
And we don't know what the next one will be. We certainly did not predict COVID.
No.
What was it? It was some type of avian flu, I think, was expected to be the next pandemic. And it turned out to be something different.
It did, yeah.
Which is again, science. That's just the way it is.
It is. And actually, that was one of the things that got me into public health, was reading a book about the Spanish flu. And it was an epidemiologist kind of saying, you know, well, what happens after this? And that this could happen again. And I was just like, I thought that was quite serious. And so I was like, well, okay, that's interesting. And then I started diving a little bit more into it. So epidemiologists have kind of been waiting for this to happen for like 20 years. but like you said, you never really know for sure the exact moment it's going to become a pandemic.
Right. So it's our plan on how to handle it rather than what do we do for this specific illness, virus, whatever it happens to be. All right. So we've identified through the assessment the main areas. Certainly substance abuse, I think, has been a focus for decades now. I'm guessing you were a DARE kid.
Yes, I was a DARE kid.
There you go. Because you're about my kid's age and they were DARE kids. So that's nothing new. But as I've talked with Jennifer Labrum from your health department, mental health care, I think, is finally getting the attention it needs. Are the other areas getting the attention they need? We've talked about healthy lifestyle since jogging hit in the 70s, but never really put a lot of effort into it.
Well, like, there's a lot of things that go into healthy lifestyle more than you would think, because health does affect every aspect of our lives. I mean, being healthy can have like a walkable living space. So if your neighborhood has sidewalks, that can contribute to healthy living space. If you have a lot of pollution in the place where you live, that can contribute negatively towards your health. Like, there's all these little things that contribute towards a healthy lifestyle. And one of the things that we've been kind of focusing on within the healthy lifestyles and the food access is we've been doing a project with our community food banks, where we have community health workers come in and they help distribute different health resources for our community members, but it's not just focused on food. Like they give different resources on things like high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, and mental health and substance use, all these different things. And they'll get feedback also from community members and say, hey, I have questions about these. And they said, okay, next time we'll look into it and see what we can find for you. And we've gotten pretty good feedback on that, because I feel like a lot of programs would just say, oh, okay, well, we just need to get you food. But it's not just the food. That's the problem. And with, I don't remember the exact terminology that they use, but there's different levels of food access.
There's what, food deserts, food swamps. Mm-hmm. Safford's a swamp.
Yeah.
I would say what, like, I don't know if Pima qualifies as a desert name. Byless.
Mm-hmm.
Byless would be a desert.
Yes. But it's not enough just to say there is food available. It's how is this food being utilized? Can they get to where the food is? Is it appropriate for them to eat? For instance, do they have diet restrictions? So if like there's food available and they can't eat it, that food is not accessible to them. Like there's all these different little, like, sort of like a clock where you have all the clogs and they have to work together to make a system work.
So what do we as a community need to do on that? Because we've stepped up. Mm-hmm. Our food banks are really trying their hardest to distribute healthy foods.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Lions Club doing powwow.
Yes.
The Cooperative Extension is teaching healthy cooking at the library. But the reality is sometimes it's cheaper to get a prepackaged frozen something from Dollar General.
Mm-hmm.
Than it is to go buy, and maybe you don't have time, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, prepare, take the whole time to make the meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes if you're working two jobs, slapping something in the microwave for 5 minutes is really all you can spare.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, there's all these different barriers, and these are the systems that we live in our life. So sometimes we have to really be able to meet people where they're at. Because for someone, being able to make an elaborate meal may not be realistic for them. But maybe they could choose a low-sodium microwave meal. It's all about these little tiny realistic steps, because once you say, well, you have to have this that may not be attainable for everyone, that's when people start giving up. And they say, well, I can't do that. And then they don't have that self-efficacy to do it themselves. So you really have to kind of work with them in their situation, where they're at as a person and their circumstances. And adjustments just need to be made, because it's really hard to say, well, everyone has to do one specific thing, because everyone's bodies are different. Every circumstance is different.
It's funny. We're talking about food right now. And coming up this July, I think it's July, is the local moonshot. SBDC over at EAC, the Small Business Development Center, will facilitate that. Moonshot is a group based out of Flagstaff where they help entrepreneurs. I'm going through this long story for a reason. I promise I'll get there. My wife went through it last year. She won locally. We got to go to Flagstaff. She made the pitch. She did not win the statewide competition. Right before she made her pitch, she was the second or third person up. But the first person that got up is somebody based out of the Tucson area. And his business, by the way, they were vying for $10,000 in free capital.
Okay.
Just to help their businesses. His business is working with local organic farmers to freeze dry foods and get them into stores at a low cost. And both of us sat there and went, oh, that guy should win. By the way, he didn't.
Oh.
And we're still sitting there going, why didn't he win? Because that's a brilliant idea that just helps everyone. But that, to me, was when it clicked. It's like, oh, yeah, we just have to rethink a little bit about how we do business. Maybe that's a component. Because I'm thinking freeze-dried fruits and vegetables. Well, maybe, you know, because you can, what is it, when you hydrate them and mm-hmm. you bring them back to life, that can work. And it's if you can do it at a cost-effective point, maybe now people will take that extra step, mm-hmm. or can take that step.
That would be a possibility. I have seen the freeze-dried foods, especially for people who do the camping, and they freeze-dry everything, and then they just rehydrate it when they're cooking. So, and it saves a lot of space, too, because like you can, like little strawberries right. this big, you know?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I found it very interesting. Plus, he was working with local farmers, and mm-hmm. it was organic, and it seemed the way to go to address something like this, or mm-hmm. at least a component to address something like this.
A component, yes.
So not having that here, because you're now in the implementation stage, is it looking for things like this that the health department is trying to do to figure out how to tackle some of these issues?
Yeah, because you can plan all you want, but then sometimes plans do change, and it's okay to be flexible with these plans. Because I know some of these, when I looked at it and I said, oh, you know, we're going to, that sounds like a really good thing. And so I start asking different people, and they're like, oh, well, when we started talking about it, it wasn't realistic right now. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, that gets moved down the bottom of the list. What's the next thing we're working on?
All right, let me throw another one at you. Okay. Have you thought about bribing people into health? Now, a few years ago, it came out that Greenlee County was the most overweight mm-hmm. per capita. And Morenci, being a town site, it's Freeport. They said, well, we don't want unhealthy workers. We want healthy workers. So Greenlee County made an effort and said, in a year, we need to reduce the number of those classified as obese. So we're going to come up with these programs, and there'll be walking programs and exercise programs and food, teaching you how to cook well. And you've been a part of these long enough to know they may start good. They don't necessarily end with 100% participation. Mm-hmm. People drop out. And they bribed them. And they said, all right, if you continue through, if you meet these goals, there are prizes. Mm-hmm. Now, it's easier for the private sector to do that than the public sector. But has there been any thought on that? Hey, if we can reduce the number of people classified as obese, which would tend towards healthier lifestyle, mm-hmm. we'll get some sponsors and we'll give away some stuff.
I mean, because I've been trying to look into what the Greenlee program was doing. But as far as implementing the exact same program ourselves, it hasn't really been looked into.
I mean, from a population standpoint, yeah. I don't think it's doable. I mean, because Greenlee's so small, especially compared to the rest of the state, but even compared to us, they're small. Mm-hmm. And you can get away with that. Yeah. I think we're too big and too diverse because the tribe is a part of Graham County.
It is, yeah.
But the tribe is its own entity. Mm-hmm. I tend to think that would be difficult to implement.
It would, just because they are a little bit more autonomous than other towns around us would be. And for these kind of programs to be long-term successful, because if the bribe is taken away, that positive health outcome and behavior has to outweigh the negative behavior that they were doing before for it to be sustainable, for you not to relapse. This is what we see a lot of times with dieting programs, is when you take away that diet program, you try and go yourself, then it becomes less sustainable.
But doesn't getting into the habit mm-hmm. help?
Getting into the habit does help. But habit is not as straightforward as just saying, you know, a lot of people say, oh, do something for a month. That's a really good start, though, for you know, because it takes about, you know, 90 days for a solid habit to form. But the process is messy. It's not very straightforward. It's not linear. And that can be difficult for a lot of people. And a lot of people feel like, you know, they're not making progress. They're not seeing immediate results, because a lot of times we want that instant gratification of knowing that things are getting better.
Yeah, I've lost 3 pounds. Okay, well, that just means you didn't drink water today or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. And it should be a slow process. Mm-hmm. We don't want rapid weight loss, because that's not healthy.
No.
So I get it. I was just curious if there's been any thought and
Mm-hmm.
Bribery works.
To some degree.
People like things and money. So, you know, just a thought. 428-9494. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Emily Riddle from the Graham County Health Department right after this. Welcome back to Voice of the Valley and the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm Dave Bell. Emily Riddle is here with the Graham County Health Department. We're talking about the implementation, what comes next after a community health assessment. And I say it all the time, you really need to be here during the break because the discussion is just as interesting. Usually more so because there's a little bit of gossip. We did not gossip.
No.
We did not gossip. Sometimes there's gossip, but... today, you said something that I really, really would like to address here now, during the break, how transportation is a factor in good health.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're taking part in some discussions on finding ways to improve transportation access.
Yes.
So how does transportation play a factor?
So one of the things that we've been kind of looking at is, especially within the healthcare sector, that if you don't have access to transportation to get to your primary care, then you're not going to go. So you're going to put it off until you reach that emergency point. And then you're going to end up in the ER with a much larger issue than it would have been if you could have just gone to your GP. And for some people, they may have a car, but they only got one car and three adults need that car. And if you're not on the priority list, because for some people it's put food on the table or go to that doctor appointment, and you can't share one vehicle, then you're not going to go. Or if you can't even get to the pharmacy on time to get your medications, there's a lot of things that play into it, but it can also a little bit more negatively impact it, because if you're driving long commutes, that also affects your health. Because I had to sit in traffic in Tucson last week, and I was going bonkers in that car, just like, get me out of this car.
Yeah, stress in traffic is a thing.
Uh-huh.
We complain. I was complaining about going to my wife's warehouse over the weekend, mm-hmm. and she made fun of me. She goes, it's literally a 10-minute drive. I go, but it's 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, compared to literally going around the corner around here. We're close to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But where I grew up, I lived by O'Hare. I worked downtown. Oof. Chicago. It was a 13-mile drive.
Mm-hmm.
If I left at 3:15, I got to work by 3:30, even though I started at 4 p.m. I was working second shift.
Mm-hmm.
If I left at 3:20, I got there at 4:30, and I was a half an hour late.
Mm-hmm.
That's what traffic does to you.
Yep.
and so I learned I have to be almost an hour early to work to be there on time. Because mm-hmm. of traffic, just because of traffic.
Yes.
So we don't experience that here, but it's still frustrating when you have to. I hear it all the time. I don't want to go all the way to Pima. Saffordians, relax. It's 15 minutes. It's not all the way,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's still a factor.
It is a factor.
I also think about the people who can't drive anymore for whatever reason, whether it is a health issue or age.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely impacts their ability to even grocery shop.
Yes. And that was actually what I was going to hit on next is, we have people who, you know, they have health concerns that make it difficult for them to drive. We have elderly people who may not feel as comfortable driving anymore.
They feel comfortable.
They feel comfortable.
They just shouldn't. That's what my wife says to me. We're getting there. I go, no, we're okay.
No, yeah. It's not obviously to say that any old person shouldn't drive. That's not it.
No, of course. But there are some people who legitimately, we know that eyesight degenerates
mm-hmm.
as we age.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point where you probably shouldn't be driving. Doesn't mean you're not a capable person.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply your eyes can't keep up with what you need to behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's that. And also what you mentioned, maybe someone all the way in Pima doesn't really feel like driving all the way to Safford to go to Walmart.
Yeah, so they'll go to the Dollar General.
Or somewhere that's maybe walkable to them if they do not have access to a car. And that falls back into the healthy food access and so many different things. Or students at EAC, was it the Speedway that's next to the college? Yeah, they'll go to the Speedway because they can't drive to Walmart to buy fresh food. There's lots of different aspects of transportation.
And while we love Kainoa's, we absolutely love Kainoa's, they're around the corner, mm-hmm. not every college kid has the money to go to Kainoa's.
No, they don't.
But they do have $2 to get a frozen burrito
mm-hmm.
at the Speedway, which is full of whatever preservatives they can throw in there.
Exactly.
So transportation, huge, huge factor. As I mentioned, Emily, during the break, I believe it's also an economic driver because mm-hmm. if we had some fixed route between EA and Thrifty, for example,
yes,
or the way if they wanted to make it out to a theater,
mm-hmm.
those college kids would be spending money in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, well, college kids are a little brighter than us old people, so they'll probably eat a little better than we will. But hopefully buying good food as mm-hmm. well as spending money at theaters and shops, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So win-win.
If
we can get access for people, I just see benefit. But
mm-hmm.
as Emily knows, mass transit does not turn a profit, ever.
No, very rarely it does.
and that every community I've lived in that has tried it and then shuts it down says the exact same thing. It costs too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so do fire departments. They do not pay for themselves.
No.
Parks do not pay for themselves in any way, but we want them.
Yes.
And fire departments we need,
mm-hmm.
you know. There are things that government provides that does not pay for itself, but they're essential to a healthy community.
Yes.
And I would argue that transportation is one of them.
I would also argue that, but also it depends on, you know, what is feasible in the community and what is the community's values towards it. So I think we really have to push that we do want this and that it would improve our health at a community level. Because like you said, it doesn't pay for itself. You have to value it as a community, as a service to keep it and maintain it.
Yeah. It is, you're right. It's mm-hmm. it's incumbent on us, if we believe it, mm-hmm. to tell that to our elected officials.
Yes, because I've lived in communities where I can see that it was valued, and communities where it was there, but it wasn't really well maintained. You could tell it wasn't really valued, and it was just something where it's like, oh, we just have to have this because, and places where it hasn't existed, so.
And there are whole communities where nobody learns to drive. New York is one of them. They just, no need.
Because
mm-hmm. there's a robust mass transit system.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the safest in all areas, but it is robust.
Yes.
I lived in Chicago, and we had a very healthy mass transit system.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times I used it. I was like, you know what? If I don't have to drive into the city, I won't. I'll just jump on a train. It's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get to the subway part out here.
No.
But I wouldn't mind a couple of buses running.
Mm-hmm.
It would be okay.
It would be nice.
With our last couple of minutes, what else are you guys looking at? You said there's a research project?
Yes. So I'm participating as the local point of contact for a research and implementation project called Proyecto Juntos that the Graham County Health Department is participating with four other counties in southeastern Arizona. And the primary investigator is Southeastern Arizona Health Education Center, which we partner with already with our food pantries and some other community mints. We've been working with them for 5 years. It's been really wonderful. And it is a research project on mental and substance use disorders within communities. And the baseline was for this project was our community health assessment that we just did. So we kind of saw there is a need, but now what is the roots of those needs? and how can we address this at a system-wide level? And so that'll be 2 years of research and then 3 years of implementation.
It makes sense. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, we have mental health issues here, mm-hmm. whether, you know, it's access to care or we're seeing an increase in people exhibiting mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
But without knowing the root cause, we really can't address.
Yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point of this?
Yes.
All right. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Substance abuse, though, I mean, that's been around for such a long, long time. Do we really feel confident that we can address the root cause of that more than education or helping people kick?
Well, it really depends because we're kind of leaning it more a bit into the mental health aspect of the substance use.
Okay.
Just because they go hand in hand. And a lot of times people who are using substances have an underlying mental health condition or problem that isn't being addressed. So that's the direction we're going with that.
Very good. Emily Riddle with the Graham County Health Department. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening as well. I appreciate it every single day. I'm out of here for right now, but I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, you guys have a great day.